come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Loud noises!
I know kung fu.
This is madness!
Where are you?
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 168 of the 8-Bit Geek. You know, every episode here is made with three main ingredients. Love, care, and meh. I'm Jeremy, and with me today are two men who want to quit, but just won't.
Doug!
Kevin!
Yeah, I'll put my name on that one.
I'm just too legit to quit, that's all.
Is that what it is? I love it. This one. You guys are just like, yep, cosign.
Fuck it.
We're in on that.
Where the fuck could?
Yeah, it's been a like long week. Hands. It's been a long fucking week, boys.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah.
But has it?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, we had to wait for Cap to come out.
Well, yeah.
And that took forever. And then we had to wait for this show to happen.
What?
And that took forever. No, as in, like, getting to today, so that way we could talk about Cap.
Mm-hmm.
My mind's all on Cap.
Yeah, it is. We ain't talking Captain Crunch, baby.
Actually, we were. Like, they came out with a new flavor.
I can go over some fucking Crunch Berries, like, yesterday.
Holy shit, I loved Crunch Berries growing up.
Make it happen. I loved Crunch Berries as of 5 minutes ago. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, I haven't had Crunch Berries in a while. But, okay, so do you remember when they had the regular Captain Crunch, and then they had the Crunch Berries, and then they also had the Peanut Butter Crunch? Did you guys ever try those?
Yeah, I had that one. That was pretty good.
Those are pretty good. But Berry was always the best. Berry Crunch won out.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Anyways, if you like our banter, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also rate us there. It would help, please. Also, our sponsor, Audio Boom, for hooking us up with all the nice airwaves that you hear. And also on Stitcher Radio, you can follow us. And Google Play, find us there too. We're all over the place. And whatever app that you want to use for podcasting, you can always find us. So
we're on Google Play now, so you know what that means.
We
legit as fuck.
Oh yeah, we are.
Big time now.
You can also follow us on social media at the 8-Bit Geek. And of course, every Monday night, you can watch us on Twitch as we stream our podcast live. So please support us on Patreon as well. If you don't know what Patreon is, there's a link down below if you're watching on Twitch. Also, if you're listening online, you can go to our website at www.the8bitgeek.com. And you can go ahead and just subscribe to us through Patreon. You get some really cool rewards, some pre-show stuff, some post-show stuff, and everything some sprinkled in between. You get some cool rewards, playtime, t-shirts, a whole bunch of stuff. For as little as $1 a month, you can hook us up and send us to different comic cons and help us save up for some new equipment and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. And to the people that are watching us currently on Twitch, twitch.tv, The 8-Bit Geek, if you didn't already know where to find us there. We record this live every Monday night. If you are watching now, you can donate to us directly in the middle of the show and help us. Con's coming up next month.
Holy shit.
Yeah, a month away.
It's a month away.
Oh my God.
And we'll read your messages on air.
Like a month and a week away. We'll read whatever if you put a message in. At this point, we're just trying to get everything covered. So it's a smooth trip.
That's right. We got a lot of people coming.
We've got a crew of people this year. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
And so, I'm gonna tease something because that's what I do, because I love to talk about things that aren't finished yet.
I was gonna say you're a big tease.
I am. We have a store that we're working on, and we're finishing up that. We have some really cool designs. I've yet to be bashed for one of my designs. Which is always a good thing because, you know, these two are brutally honest, and so far they've enjoyed what's been happening. So that'll be up here within the next week or two, and hopefully you guys will like the designs and purchase some shirts and some other cool stuff that we got. We got a fucking mug that says 8-Bit Geek on it. It says when we started the show and has some cool things, but the biggest feature is there's a big meh above our name.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. Okay, so before we get into all of the fun stuff, I kind of wanted to bring up something. We talked about it in text messaging. I don't know if you guys are really concerned with it, but it got me to the point of being pissed off that I thought it's show worthy. And I'm talking about Comic Cons. We're coming up on them. We're in the con season. And normally, you know, you can buy a, when you buy a pass, you could buy a day pass, you could buy a weekend pass. And a day pass is what, about $30? About $30 for a day, right?
It depends on the convention, but yeah, most of the time.
Average is about 30. Let's see, the weekend premium passes run anywhere from 100 to 150, depending on what con you go to. Dallas Comic Con is charging 130 for their weekend premium pass. One of our other podcast hosts, Michael, went ahead and purchased two of those for him and his wife. So they're sitting at $260 right now to go to a convention in Dallas, okay? So generally with cons, a lot of the panels are free to go to. And not a lot, all the panels are free to get into and to go to. It's a part of the experience when you go. Now, Doug, maybe you can be a little more helpful. New York Comic Con is considered one of the biggest. Is it the same? Like, is there panels there like that are just open to the public all day?
Not to the public. You have to have passes.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like, if you purchase into the
con. Open to con-goers.
Yeah, open to con-goers.
Yeah, everything. But you have to get in line at, I guess, midnight to get to some of them. I don't know if I've told the story on our podcast. But, like, we walked in the door to New York Comic Con day two, I think. It was, like, Saturday at 8:01. Like, literally, we bypassed the entire line and walked in the front doors. Mm-hmm. Like, we just walked right in. And like looked down, like where all these people were entering, like the basement level where like the main entrance was, mm-hmm. like the main big entrance. We just walked right through the front doors, like street level, just walked right in. 8:01, bolted down to where the lines were. And so it's like 8:04 by the time we get down there. Walking Dead panel tickets gone already. Four minutes in, they're gone. They haven't even, like, there's no line. The line is gone. Like, so. When did they pass those tickets? When did they hand those tickets out? Because, like, there's still thousands of people outside that didn't get tickets.
Right.
Or even a chance, right? Because you get in there and, like, Walking Dead, gone. And it's like, the fuck? What the hell? How did you do that? Like, and I don't know if maybe they, like, started lining up at midnight. Because when we went to Celebration, we landed in California at 11, checked into our hotel, walked to the convention center, and got in line at 1 a.m. And we're in line for the opening day panel. We're in line at 1, and we stayed in line from 1 until 9 a.m. when they let us into the panel room to watch the, you know, the trailer and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's the same way at New York. I don't know, because they're like, building closes at 11 or whatever. So it's like, how the fuck are people lining up if the building's goddamn closed? Mm-hmm. So
mostly just some. So essentially just you have to deal with the lines.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen this before happen, and the first time that it came up, I was like, hey guys, this is kind of worrisome, because, like, is it going to be a trend? I know, Doug, at the time you were like, no, I don't think so. But
well, I think my thing about it was that it seemed like it was going to be kind of like the Kevin Smith thing, where I think it was open to the public.
Yeah.
Where you didn't have to have a ticket, but then when it says, like, admission to the convention is required, mm-hmm. that's when I was like, no, not if you're charging that much.
So what we're talking about here is these evening panels. I'll call them panels. They're calling them an evening with these, you know, special guests.
They're special events. They're not panels. And I think that's the thing that we need to differentiate here, is that there will probably be free panels open to everyone at the convention.
Right. There's
going to
be a ton of panels. Like, there's still a ton of panels for people to attend. But I consider these like the kind of headliners, right? They're the headline things that everybody wants to go see. So they're packaging them in evenings now and charging people a premium to get in. Now, there is one that is, what's it called? The TARDIS one, Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. So there's a Doctor Who one. It starts at $29.99. But they also go up to $699. Do you want to know what $699 gets you?
A hand job from each of the doctors.
No.
Oh.
It gets you a backstage meet and greet with three of the stars. It gets you a photo, and it gets you an autograph. And then it gets you preferred seating. And then you get a special lanyard as well for $700. Here's the kicker. They have a asterisk where it says... It says, I thought I pasted it here, but it says that each celebrity may charge more for an autograph and photo. They have the right to do that on top of the $700. So that's kind of insane. So if you just want a general admission, it's $30. You know, most people would say, okay, not a big deal, right? It's, you know, but it starts to add up when you pay $130 and then you go, okay, well, there's 30 more, so there's $160 that I wanted to pay. And then there was, the second one came out, and it was Breakfast with Stan Lee. It was very limited. And all of these admissions were, hey, you have to have, it's required for you to be, you know, in attendance. You have to buy the pass for Fan Expo Dallas is required to attend any special event. $299 to have breakfast with Stan Lee.
Yeah.
People bought it. It sold out. So that's an opportunity that's really cool. I can't really lump this in with the evening things, but I do think that like $300 is kind of crazy. So I wanted to throw it in there.
I figured it would be expensive because I was thinking, also, you know, like along, okay, breakfast with, it's probably going to be him on a stage and it's probably going to be like 30 tables and there'll probably be a buffet, which is kind of what it seems like there is so far. So I was like, okay. Yeah, I could see like $100 for that, and like I think that's a reasonable price. And then it was like $299. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah,
like yeah. The fuck? What? Yeah. But then, you know, and again, it's like, well, but you get autograph stuff, which Stan I think charges like $100 alone.
Mm-hmm.
Something stupid, maybe not be $100. It's like between 50 and 80 is what he normally. So okay. So that's $150 right there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, and then like you get a selfie with them. Like, but okay, do you even get charges to... like $40 for pictures?
Do you even get like a? I mean, you're not even. Who are the lucky ones who even get to sit at his table and have a chat with him?
Oh, you know he's sitting alone.
Yeah, probably because he doesn't. He doesn't have time to talk to the fucking people like us, just sitting there nerding out. Hey, Stan. What was your inspiration behind Spider-Man?
I mean, but remember how awesome his panel was at Alamo City a couple years ago. So I'm just imagining that with like breakfast. It's, like that's awesome,
right?
But yeah, $299 is like that is steep.
It's very steep. So then today another one hit. And this is where, and it just scares me. I also talked to Michael about this because he's a fan, and he's somebody who goes out of his way to purchase things like this, and it's really got him bummed because, you know, I asked him, I said, well, what's your opinion on this? And he goes, I feel like I'm kind of getting raped. Like, I feel like if I want to attend these things, I'm absolutely getting taken advantage of.
Yeah, and like I understand, like, you're getting pictures and... Like especially with the Breakfast with Stanley, where it's going to be like, you know, only so many people are there. That it is a truly special event. But like the Doctor Who thing, it's like, but it's $30 just to get in the door, which that to me I don't mind as much. I wish it was less than that, but I've talked about like at New York Comic Con, when I bought my tickets, if I could have been like, I would like, yes, I want to make sure I get a pass for the Walking Dead panel. I want to make sure I get a pass for the Deadpool or Daredevil panel. Or Deadpool, you know, like stuff like that. I would pay up to like $10 to know for a reserve spot to get
reserve
the passes,
a spot
to make sure that I know that I'm getting in. Absolutely, because at that point I've already spent, you know, like $150 on my passes, and then you add on easily another $100 just for like panels I want to go to and to reserve a spot. Fuck yeah, that's brilliant. But $130 for the weekend, and then. You're looking at $30 at least just for the Doctor Who thing, and then you're looking at...
Well, William Shatner just came out with... Okay, so today was the William Shatner one. The only price that's listed is $299, and it comes with a picture and an autograph. So... And that's an evening with William Shatner.
That's all you get from him. I mean, even like... I mean, Shatner's always been... I've never... seen Shatner at a con and not have it be fucking ridiculous. Like he's always the celebrity that has his own room or is behind a curtain. Like he's like fucking Prince. You can't look at him. if you look them in the eyes, you'd be kicked out. You know, it's like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
And charge $600.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just add it up real quick, just for shits and giggles. Okay, so let's say you go to your pass is $130, and let's just say you don't want the $30 nosebleed seats because that's what they are. There is it's tiered, so $699 gets you the preferred seating with probably the first like 20 rows, right? And then the mid-range rows are $299. So let's just say you go with the $299 because you really love Doctor Who. You're by yourself. Now, you also wanted to do William Shatner, so that's $299. You're already at $728 before you buy a piece of art. I think it's ridiculous. I don't like the trend that's happening because I do think it's going to stay because of the fact that it's going to sell out. Because people will pay it because they want to see their idols. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see if William Shatner actually has a table and a booth at this con, or if he just shows up for this evening thing. That'd be very interesting to see.
I think the person we can blame for this, I think it's the first person they announced that they were doing something special like this, and that was with Frank Miller. His was the first one I believe that they announced, and it was $1,000. It was like $987 or some shit.
Was that last year?
Why not just make it $1,000 at that point? No. Why the fuck would you be all weird and say 987?
Was that for this year?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because it's his first con appearance.
Because he's only there for like a day.
Yeah,
he's there for like a day, and that gets you. It was only open to 30 people. And it was a lottery system, remember? And it was like, yeah, you got the... The autograph, you got like the three pieces of art that he had already signed. You could get three other things autographed. You could get a picture, blah, 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 blah.
So 30...
But it was like,
they made $30,000 off of that.
Yeah.
Well...
Easy.
People taking their cuts, I'm sure. But
okay,
still.
But let's just say that... Even if Fan Expo took 50%, he's still walking out with $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you got like a Q&A thing with him, like a small little Q&A with just like the 30 of you, and then they also got you like front row seats at his panel, and then because then they did like the $99 thing, which got you like you got to go through you guaranteed spot to get something signed from him, and then like a guaranteed seat in his panel, so it was like. But that was it. It was like you get something signed and a seat in the panel for $100. Like, he doesn't charge $100 for you to sign stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know why.
That's a shame.
In order to combat that, I bet they won't let him sign anything at the booth if he's at a booth.
Well, I don't know, because it's like be. I think he will because they've already paid. Like that's a pre-purchase thing, so he's just like, fuck it, I'm going to get fucking $80 a pop right now. So I'm particularly not for this, and you know, I love the fact that Fan Expo came in. You know, it's kind of like, you got to take the good with the bad, I guess, because the good is that they brought all these fucking stars this year, but the bad is that now it's introducing just more wallet, just God, like you're going to go fucking broke.
Yeah. Well, one of my coworkers, he's got a couple of grandkids, and he always takes them to go see like all these like the superhero movies. Like, you know, I know he took them all to go see Civil War this week, and I can't even begin to imagine how much that must cost. Jesus. To take like seven grandkids, plus like their parents and himself, to go see this fucking movie. But he also normally takes them to the conventions,
right?
And I know that this year it was like, I'm gonna pay for my daughters to go. I ain't paying for my grandkids. Mm-mm. I can't afford it. He's like. He's like, you know, I may pay for like a Sunday pass for them, but he's like, if they want to go do any of this special stuff, go get a fucking job. like I can't. It's like, it's stupid. It's stupid how expensive this is. It used to be something that we could go do as a family. Yeah. And yeah, it would set me back a little bit, but it was worth it to see that with, you know, to see my grandkids have fun. It's like, but I'm not spending, you know, $30 for 14 grandkids or whatever, you know, like fuck that, for 14 people. Like fuck that. No.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a paycheck.
It's crazy. All right, every week before we get into all the news and stuff, we do something called Misconnections. We take real ads from the Misconnection section on Craigslist, read them in funny voices, and of course these are completely real. We don't edit them, we just ad-lib a little bit, and we definitely can't make this stuff up.
Boy sees girl. Boy is interested in girl. Boy awkwardly stares at girl from across the room. Boy never approaches girl. Girl leaves. Boy swears they are meant for one another. Boy turns to Craigslist for help finding girl. 8-Bit Geek steps in. Welcome to Misconnections.
He was on time.
I had to race to get that one.
That's not the first time he said that.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring him out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you've never met him before, you are about to. He is...
Sean Pennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Pennis.
This week's Missed Connection comes out of the Northeast. Netflix 420 chill, which is my way of saying Netflix and chill, maybe smoke a couple of doobies.
Oh, I thought maybe it was the time that you wanted to do Netflix.
I mean that too.
4:20 p.m.
It's a little bit of everything. My age this week is 32.
Nice.
Home bored cooking. I need a boo, just don't feel like going out like I used to. If you into sexy chocolate men, I'm here.
Wow.
If you cool people down to earth, smart, enjoy positive vibes, and keep a self-motivated outlook on life, you found a man in me. Let's kick it tonight. You bring the wine, I cook, we Netflix and chill.
God damn it. Which,
just to make sure you understand what I'm saying, Netflix and chill means Netflix and fuck.
Oh, man.
Yours truly, Sean Pennis.
Well, that was very nice, Sean.
So we just got a follow from, it was like Leslie, what was it? Leslie 80, and it was from Sean Pennis. It said, thank you for that sexy follow.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Thank you, Leslie 80.
Thank you very much. Okay. Oh. Hello, boys.
Hi, Ursula. I don't know your name.
Bah.
Russian woman.
You can call me whatever you like, bald man.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So this goes out to Dark Phoenix at the Free Comic Book Day. Woman for woman. My body, average. It's pretty Russian. My height is 5'11", 180 centimeters. Well, my dear, the title says it all right there. You know who you are. I have absolutely no idea if you'll read these things, but if you do, I would love to talk to you some more. You have a fantastic attitude and personality. Plus the ability to pull off that suit. God damn it. Well, dear, if you see this, say hi. At least, you know, I would love to make a new friend. And then I would pound you. Yours truly, the Russian.
Wow. All
right, Kyle.
Well, since I've been sounding like this all night, we're going to bring my boy Velvet Jones in here. This one goes out to that sexy-ass female at Walmart earlier this morning. This is a male for women. Ben White and 35, if you know what I mean. Hide this posting.
Don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah, no trust idea. Me. The girl who knows, she knows. Trust me, she's the one.
Okay.
To the oh-so-sexy girl wearing the tightest, sexiest jeans and showing off that stunning ass at Walmart at 35th and Ben White. We saw each other all over the store and exchanged a few smirks and smiles. You are so damn sexy, girl. I should have came and told you how damn much you turned me on. That ass was something that deserves a man's full attention. And a woman's if you're into that kind of thing. I holla, holla, holla. Hopefully you see this and are interested. Tell me what we were both wearing. And then tell me what you thought I was wearing underneath what I was already wearing.
I didn't think you wore anything.
Conversations.
Yeah. I didn't think you wore anything under anything.
Yeah. That was like the whole point.
Yeah.
Well, baby, we're all naked underneath all them clothes, if you know what I mean. We just got to get... The journey is getting there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's very true. You boys see any movies this weekend?
Nope.
Oh.
What? A what?
We saw Keanu a couple weeks ago. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, remember when we saw Keanu?
Oh, my God. I didn't think Kevin was ever going to see fucking Civil War.
No.
He was treating that shit.
So butthurt until I saw that.
You were treating it like it was like a movie that your girlfriend wanted to see, and it was a love story, and it was like fucking Titanic, and you're like, I'll get around to it, I guess.
Yeah, it was like Mother's Day or whatever fucking album movie came out.
Nah. When you are so hocked up on NyQuil/DayQuil like I was this weekend, you'll see why Civil War didn't really
take priority. Excuse me, that's when you want to go see this movie.
Yeah.
No, because I don't want to pay $10 or whatever to pass out in the theater. I'd rather do that in my own house.
So Civil War made $179.1 million in its first week here domestically. I think it was like 188.
$180 something.
Yeah. So I think that's wrong. That's coming from IMDb. I just pulled that today, too. So that's strange.
That's weird.
Bollocks.
I saw it twice.
I'm actually going to see it tonight at 10:30 for the second time.
Sweet. Okay, so we'll do a spoiler review, a spoiler-free review.
Spoiler-free.
Real quick.
Yeah.
But I also have a little bit of a different review, because the second time I saw it in a fucking spectacular fashion. I saw
naked?
It... Naked?
Oh, no, but he was with Colin.
Yeah, that was so strange.
Poor Colin.
I don't know what happened. I've scarred him for life.
See, he was the one chugging NyQuil and DayQuil at the same time.
So my local theater, my local Cinemark, just installed these things called the D-Box. And fucking name.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So I walk into the theater, and usually where we sit is a row, you know, a couple rows back, and so that way we get in the middle of the screen. Well, they all said reserved, and they're red seats, and I go, what the fuck are these? So, I look at them, and they're full motion-controlled seats. And I go, oh, no, they didn't. So I walked my happy ass right back out. Matinee was $5. I asked them, I said, hey, what are the red seats, and how can I get one? How much for the D? And so it's an extra $8 to sit in these seats.
No.
So I paid $13 in a matinee. So normally these would be like fucking $18. At a nighttime showing, I would never pay that.
Hell no.
But I decided I have to experience this once. Plus, I had the kid with me, so I was like, oh, he's going to fucking love this. So we go in, we take our seats. The movie started and everything. I tell you what, I have never experienced something so fun, because I felt like I was at Disneyland. You know, every punch was a subtle hit in your chest. Even when the logo was going, like your seat was felt like you were floating. The every time you hit the you know, a truck hit the wall, you would feel it. It would shake and vibrate and move. I mean, it was nuts. Now, I will say that it wasn't the most comfortable thing in the world, because the seats are not as cushioned as you would expect, guessing because of all the tech that's in the seat. But it was a really cool experience, just to see how everything was synced up with the movie, and it was pretty neat. But I definitely they said it was in beta. I was like, I'm sorry, beta? You guys are having beta for this? And so who knows how much they're going to charge when it's out of beta.
Yeah.
But it was a fun experience to see it a second time with that.
So would you say that you love the D?
No, I didn't love the D.
Would you pay for the D again?
It's really tough when you can just not pay for the D and just go to, you know, like... If it comes free, then I'll take the D. But paying for the D, sometimes it doesn't deliver that much more better of an experience when you're just sitting in non-D. You know what I'm saying?
Continue. So you're saying if the D rocks your world, it's worth paying for.
Well, the D's were big. You know, you got to sit like they're bigger than the normal non-D's. And so when you're sitting in this big D, it just, you're like, ooh, I've got all this extra room.
I forgot you love the big D. My bad.
The big D vibrates and shooms and shimmies, so. You're not going to embarrass me here. I will play along all day.
What are you talking about? We're still talking about the theater.
So what did you guys think of the film?
I mean, spoiler free, I thought it was great. I mean, especially coming off the last superhero movie I saw with Batman versus Superman, it had a bad taste left in my mouth. No, I didn't get to experience the D. My theater is not that high tech.
Okay.
I would say if you go into it expecting, like, if you go in there full comic book nerd mode and expect the Civil War story from Marvel Comics, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But if you liked Winter Soldier and you liked Captain America and just where the Marvel direction is going, it's going to be right up your alley. I actually liked it better than Age of Ultron, to be honest.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, like yeah. A million times better. yeah. But I think it's even got some stuff for the comic book fans. Like, it's got some, like, iconic shots.
No, they definitely do. I'm talking about, like,
Straight from the pages.
The reasoning for the story. Right. The reasoning for the Civil War.
I mean, everything has changed up because you don't have the same characters that are...
Yeah, when your universe is cut in almost half because you're missing the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, mm-hmm. and all those characters that go with those, like, yeah, you have to change things up because the Registration Act wouldn't make sense in this, because as far as we know, there's only like 18 heroes.
Right, and that's why I can forgive Marvel and why I won't forgive DC. DC has everybody at their disposal, and yet they're pissing them away.
Well, I mean, we've only gotten one movie so far in DC, and
I mean, just one.
I mean, come on, let's give them a couple more years to fuck it up.
Their animated movies fucking rock.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I agree with you on that. It's too bad they just can't get those to the screen. You know, like, to get those, like, to live action.
Well, they're trying, and like I can't fault them yet. Because you got one movie that just wasn't that good, but you got Batman out of it, and he's executively producing the new Justice League movie now. So I'm hopeful for that. And so wrapping just happened on Wonder Woman, and of course we're going to see... Yeah, and then of course we're going to see Suicide Squad. So just hold that anger back just a little bit, Kevin. I think they're going to surprise us.
I mean, I'll go with it once again, because, like, I hated on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the movie, but I'm gonna be fucking going to see that when that comes out.
I think this next one is a fan service. The first one, next was, one looks yeah. Awesome. I mean, they were just like, I think they actually listened to the fans and they're like, "What? Why are you fucking this up?"
Besides Megan Fox fucking everything up, I think the movie looks great. I'm gonna try to ignore every scene she's in, but everyone looks great. Like, Casey Jones looks spot on. Fucking Krang looks awesome. And they have the Technodrome in it. Technodome or Technodrome. It's been a while.
Get your lore straight, Kevin.
But either way, I'm more psyched for the second movie. And I don't think Michael Bay can fuck it up that much. But then I say that, and then I'm going to go see the movie, and I'll be like, fuck Michael Bay.
Which is, like, kind of crazy to me, saying it's like, you know, he didn't direct it.
Yeah, he just produced it.
Yeah, he just gave them money, so.
Yeah.
Doug, what'd you think of the movie?
I loved it. I thought it was great. Kind of just to echo what Kev said, loved it more than probably a lot of the more recent movies, even though I did enjoy, like, Ant-Man. I thought Ant-Man was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, better than Age of Ultron, without a doubt. Like, this is a better Avengers movie than Age of Ultron was.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily.
And then, yeah, some great fucking characters. Like, and, you know, people are like, oh, there's going to be too many characters. But, like, every single one of them gets their moment in the spotlight enough to, like, you appreciate that they're there and what they bring to the story. And then the introduction of new characters, or, like, bringing in Ant-Man, was awesome. And I think there was a review that I read before the movie came out, and it's 100% true. Spider-Man, not surprisingly, Spider-Man steals the show. Surprisingly, so does Ant-Man. Like, Ant-Man fucking rocked, man. It was great. Oh, man. Yeah. That was
and we're not going to spoil it, but yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. I didn't. The movie was definitely one of my favorites. It's probably, you know, everybody's seen in the trailer. I'm not spoiling anything here by saying there's an airport scene. And I will say that the airport scene is probably one of the... No, it's probably not one of... It is the best character, comic book character fight scenes you'll ever witness on film. It was spectacular. For me, Spider-Man definitely stole the show. Ant-Man, and then Black Panther absolutely just killed it. I could listen to that man speak for a full 2 hours of him just doing speeches.
Yeah, the character, I mean, you know what, honestly, I was really reluctant, and you know, we talked about it on the show when Spider-Man was first shown, and he was, when you heard his voice, you were like, ah, come on.
Yeah, you were pretty much, you were pretty bad, like, but you were pretty against it.
I was very much against it, and then I'll have to say they really surprised me with the movie. So I, honestly, go see Civil War, form your own opinion on it, but I loved it, and I thought they did a fantastic job with what they had to work with.
Yeah, and if you want to, a little bit later on, we're going to do a full review on it on our 8-Bit Bits channel, so keep an eye out for that. You'll get our full reviews with scores and everything like that, and we'll go in-depth and spoil the shit out of it.
Yeah, spoil the living fuck.
Yeah. Let's see here. Speaking of Marvel, they are committing, well, you know, not with a release date, but, you know, Kevin Feige says that he is, or Feige, he is committing to a Black Widow movie.
I mean, I could deal with that. She's been in enough movies. I don't see why she doesn't have her own. I would like to see if they do like some kind of espionage movie. I think they'll do fine. They've been really knocking them out of the park with the espionage style.
Do you think that this would be her standalone film, or do you think the Arrow guy,
Hawkeye?
Thank you. Hawkeye would share the same space with her, because he's never going to get his own movie.
Right? I don't think he's going to get his own movie. And kind of based on where his story was in Civil War, I kind of see him not
continuing
his own
very
movie.
Further. Yeah.
Maybe not being in a whole lot of the upcoming movies either. Don't want to spoil anything, but he's kind of like, yo, I'm retired. Yeah. But yeah, it's a superhero movie, so we know it's not true. But I could see them using that as a reason not to have him. I would like to see her get her own movie, but I don't know what you do, except for maybe, I don't want to spoil Civil War, but there are references that she and Winter Soldier have had some sort of, like, she's like, you know me. It's like, you know me. And when he have known her.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I was like, when did this happen? And then I just remember, like, you don't recognize me.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, okay, I mean, I guess.
Because she was a Russian.
Winter Soldier, there may have been some. Exactly.
Because
yeah,
she was
a Russian assassin.
Yeah.
So was he.
Yeah.
I want to know more about that.
That'd be a cool story. I'd enjoy that. We've got a new Han Solo. I'm not even going to. No, I refuse. You guys say his fucking name.
I'll never be able to get it right.
Alden and Einrich. Einrich? Enrich.
No, Reich is the.
Ehrenreich. Okay. Well, let's just call him Alden. Alden, right?
Or Alden, who knows? Oh wait, you know what? I'll wait till he's on a talk show and they say his name and they fuck it up and then he corrects them and then we learn how to say it right forever.
That's right. Except for me.
Sorry, I got distracted by the chat. I'm not super excited.
I'm sorry. What? There is a podcast that people listen to. We don't know what you're talking about.
About
Han Solo? Yeah,
Han Solo.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the chat.
Yeah.
I mean they.
No. Sorry.
The problem I have with this is the dude is 26 years old, right? Or 28. How old is he? 27?
26.
Okay, 26.
He is 26.
Harrison Ford was like 30 when he starred in Star Wars. So
yeah. His character is like supposed to be like between 29 and like 31
yeah.
in A New Hope.
And so this guy is already like, this was supposed to be the younger years of Han Solo. And so it kind of bugs me a little bit because obviously they don't look anything alike. I mean, they have a couple features that are the same.
Right.
But like you want to go younger so that way we kind of forget about the way Harrison looks, you know? I don't know.
And sounds, all that stuff too. It's just one of those like he must have like, because I know they did the suit, they did the fitting of like the costume and mm-hmm. stuff. So like he must have put that on and just like rocked it, and then like there must be his reading must have been very Han Solo esque, because there's the whole like, you know, I'm well, I don't care, I'm Han Solo.
Oh, you should have auditioned. Why didn't you?
Right? I don't know.
Give me your best Han Solo.
Well, I can't. I don't.
Okay, I'll set you up. I'll set you up. Okay.
I love you.
I know.
Cast this man.
How's he say that? I know. Yeah.
I know.
Just he doesn't. You know, just the gruff. Like,
yeah.
It literally, that's, you know, if you want to know why I act the way I act, it's because of Han Solo. Just the nonchalant, no fucks given attitude of Han Solo spoke to me as a kid. So I don't know, but that's my concern. It's like, it's not only that he may not look like him, it's that he won't sound like him. He won't deliver the lines and the attitude the same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they must have seen something. I don't fucking know.
I agree. Get ready to watch some TV on Hulu more than you're used to, because they are planning to launch a streaming TV service in 2017. It was rumored that both YouTube and Hulu were going to do this in 2017, but Hulu just confirmed it on Wednesday of last week. So they'll be launching the streaming service sometime in 2017. And... I mean, they're the first to do it. I thought Apple would be the first, but Hulu strikes first. And the thing that, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, it's not going to be very good because of the fact that it's Hulu. But Hulu's actually owned by, like, all three. It's a partnership between all the major networks. And so they all get a cut of the streaming service. How much do you think they'll charge? $20?
No, I don't know. I don't understand. Is it what is this? What live, is it? Not just a channel?
No, it's just live streaming TV, like you would with a normal box in your living room from cable from Time Warner.
So I would think kind of like HBO Go, where it may be a minute or two after it airs, you can watch.
Are you not listening to me, Kevin?
It's live streaming, but
TV
I mean,
streaming.
What the fuck ever.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. I don't understand how this works.
Okay, so you just watch normal TV. So instead of having a box, you just go through Hulu.
Oh.
So if you wanted to watch the NBC 5 news and see the weather, you would just turn it on NBC on your Hulu. So it'll have all your channels and you just tune in.
Oh, definitely probably won't have any of your local channels.
Probably not. But it's kind of.
I already
like...
have a live streaming thing. It's called Sling TV.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome because it has a lot of the major channels already. I wish it had more, but.
So here are the options: ABC. Oh, so it will have local. ABC, ESPN, Disney Channel, Fox, Fox News, FX, Sci-Fi, MSNBC, NBC. And that's all they have listed so far.
Oh my god.
They suggested that it's going to be $40 a month?
Get out of here. Sling TV, $20.
Get the fuck out.
That's fucking stupid. The only way that is worth it is if there's no commercials.
And there will be.
Yeah, so... what?
How are you going to cut the cord and then charge $40... You might as well just pay for cable at this point, because if you're going to have HBO Go and you're going to have all the fucking Netflix, and then you're going to have Hulu, and then you're going to have Hulu TV. Fuck all that noise.
Yeah, okay, so on Sling TV, $20 gets you ESPN, AMC, CNN, HGTV, Cartoon Network, History, Disney, ESPN2, TNT, Food Network.
So all the major
Freeform,
basic ones.
A&E, IFC, Cartoon Network, Travel Channel, like... all that shit. Plus,
El
like,
Rey.
El Rey, yeah. Plus, like, Maker Studios, so it's, like, YouTube stuff. They have a beta right now, which I'm looking at. It's 30-plus channels, so it's 10 more channels. Fox Sports. Oh, my God. AMC, FX, CNN, HGTV, Cartoon Network, History. I'm going to switch over to the beta.
How much is that?
Fuck yes.
How much is the beta?
$20.
So it's the same, but they're just betaing it.
Yeah. True TV. Where? Oh, hold on. I got it. Ooh, I've got to have that.
Doug, you got to calm it down, buddy. We got a show to finish up.
Yeah.
Food Network. There it is.
This is the most I've seen. He's about to come on cue here.
I'm just about to do this.
He's gonna come on cue. Oh.
He does that anyways.
Really?
I don't. But I mean, he does pay me a lot of money, so
he's gonna come. He's gonna come knocking one day and just be like, "All right, bend over."
What? No.
He's like, I'm cashing in, bitch.
That's not how this works, QE. That's not how it works. Don't listen to them, QE. Don't do it.
This isn't how it works. This is how it works.
I'm literally going to look at this right now.
Okay, so Supergirl Season 2 may be headed to the CW. We talked a little bit about it on... Did we talk about this last week? I feel like we did. Yeah, we did. Because we were talking about how $3 million per episode...
Did we talk about this last week? I know we talked about it. I don't remember when we talked about this.
Oh my God, I feel like we did, man. We did a podcast, right? Because we looked up the numbers. Yeah, I think it was last week. We'll skip that. We'll go to the gaming. Many of you already know that Call of Duty has announced that they're coming out with a new game, and it's called Infinite Warfare.
It's called
Madden.
We talked
about it. Sorry, hold on. We talked about it on Friday night during our other show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can tune into that show for that news.
Yeah, 8-Bit Legends if you want to hear about the Supergirl stuff.
There's too many podcasts.
Yeah.
So Infinite Warfare has been getting just fucked hardcore. It is now in the top 10 most disliked YouTube videos of all time. And so nobody wants to go to space. Nobody liked the fact that you were shooting, you were playing a space game. What was it called? Fucking in ships and all that, space combat. So then all of a sudden Battlefield 1 came out with their trailer, and it's topped like 10 million views with only like 900 dislikes, and so everyone's on Battlefield's dick, and Call of Duty is just whew. And so they even included the remake of Modern Warfare, the original one, but you have to buy the $79.99. I think we covered that last week too. But there's been a you know, the CEO has come out from Activision and said, I know there's a lot of people in the community who are nostalgic for boots on the ground style gameplay, and that's why we made the Modern Warfare remastered. But we also have millions of people in our community who want the new innovative experiences in each year's edition. And Infinite Warfare delivers that. Yeah. I call bullshit.
If they wanted a new innovative experience, they'd actually take a year off and fucking let people breathe. I mean, it's literally the Madden of first-person shooters. Every year, there's like maybe one or two new features, a couple new animations, but they're still using animations back from the Modern Warfare, back from the Infinity Ward, like their glory days of like 2007, 2008.
I think that everybody... okay, so... You guys remember when the World War II trend stopped, and then we started with the sci-fi trend, and we're still in the sci-fi trend, and it looks like the sci-fi trend is about to fucking be over.
Yeah.
Big time, because this thing reached 14 million views and 1 million dislikes in like 2 days, as where the Battlefield 1, which takes place in World War I, reached 19 million views and only has 18,000 dislikes. So... I think we're at a tipping point where everyone's very vocal about not liking the new Call of Duties, and very apparent here. So it'd be interesting to see if Battlefield can actually capture the audience instead of just the cries of the haters out there. Because Call of Duty still sold a fuck ton of copies last year. If you're into Overwatch, you're also into porn. Not only regular porn, Overwatch porn. Because Overwatch porn searches has gone up 817%
since on Pornhub.com.
On Pornhub.com.
I mean, it's funny because, and this is purely for research and scientific purposes, but if you go into almost any videos comment sections on Pornhub, there's something to do with video games. I remember there was one video I was watching for science.
Your wife also researches and works for that site, so.
Yeah, I wish. That'd be awesome. We'd probably make a lot more money. But I digress. So this dude's getting a blowy. And he's also playing Bloodborne.
Keep going.
And everyone in the comments, instead of commenting on how well this woman is performing at her task, they are all talking about Bloodborne and calling the dude a scrub for dying on the first boss.
Wouldn't you too if you're getting your wee-wee?
Yeah, he's a little distracted, everyone.
If you're getting worked on.
get good. If you're playing Bloodborne or Dark Souls, get good, Shitlord.
Shut up, Kevin. Not like you would do any better.
Yeah, no joke.
I mean, come on, I'd die in the first boss without getting a blowjob.
Exactly. let's see. Epic Games is over the single-player campaigns. This is kind of bad news. Tim Sweeney said in a recent interview that we realized that the business really needed to change its approach quite significantly. He said, we are seeing some of the best games in the industry being built and operated as live games over time rather than big retail releases. So we began the transition of being a fairly narrow console developer focused on Xbox to being a multi-platform game developer and shelf self-publisher and indie on a large scale. According to multiple sources at the studio, the plan is for many of these games to be dynamic, meaning they will essentially be released unfinished and continue to evolve post-launch. The fuck? So if you're planning on playing games like Fortnite, Paragon, or Unreal Tournament, see, this is where mobile gaming has really pushed itself into the console kind of world, because not only are we getting free-to-play games that are with microtransactions, but he blatantly just said just replaced dynamic with unfinished.
Yeah.
Oh, that blows my fucking mind. That it's acceptable to just be like, hey guys, we're not done with this. And I think that we saw this with games like
Assassin's Creed,
Street Fighter V, which only shipped with a few fighters and not all the modes, and it only shipped 1.5 million copies, which is well below what Capcom wanted and expected for the game. But if you're going to release an unfinished product, I don't think many people want to play it.
Yeah, they do. I mean, look at DayZ. That's still unfinished, and people play that. I mean, all of these games are early access, and people are still playing it, I think.
Yeah, but those games aren't out to the masses. Like, they have, yes, they have players, but they're not out, like, I think there's only one game that has, like, a full retail release that's still pre-alpha, which is, what's the game you were playing, Doug? Ark.
We were all playing that, by the way.
Eh, were we? I mean, we were spectators to what Doug was building.
Doug was the god of that server.
We were just looking up to him going, oh, what else materials do you need, sir? We'll run and get them.
To where he replied,
what more do you need, my lord?
What more do you need, my lord? I shall go and fetch it. My lord, I need some backup. I'm being killed out here. Please bring forth your dragons.
The patience of people these days are so short to where they have to kind of release these games in early access just to get people to bite and to help finish the process of paying for the game, probably.
I don't believe that.
I mean, that's just the way, that's the fucking generation we're living in. Everyone's got a fucking nanosecond of a memory.
I see where you're coming from, but I don't agree with it, because if you look at stuff like Fallout 4, if you strategize your releases like that to where, hey guys, you weren't expecting this, but we're releasing now in 4 months, boom. Like, I think that, and that did phenomenal. And then you look at Battlefield 1, they just announced it, and they're already coming out in October. They're doing the same method. So it's not like these games are announcing 5 years away now, except for goddamn Star Wars with Respawn. I don't know why they did that shit.
But you're looking at companies with huge publishers. You're looking at Bethesda. You're looking at basically, what was it, EA. These guys can afford to do that shit.
Okay,
a lot
but
of these
Epic
are,
can too.
Epic is on their own now. Like, when now that they pretty much have the Unreal Engine, yeah, but
their licensing fees, like, just alone are they make a shit ton of money out of that. And plus, when you're talking about all these indie developers and stuff, they're not even talking about retail releasing. Like, you can go full digital and still, like, look at Rocket League. No major publisher, just indie developer released digitally, and it's been almost 2 years since that game's been out, and now they're just finally getting around to saying, okay, we'll release it at retail now. Like, I think I don't think that's necessary anymore to have a successful title. Especially, I don't think that it's okay to release an unfinished game, because, first of all, when you do that, look at Batman.
Look at Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed. Like, they're just shit games if they're not finished.
Well, that's the thing. If we keep buying the games and accepting them at that state, then obviously we're not helping the problem.
I agree with that. People need to definitely invest with their money not support it. Unfortunately, like you said, we do have people who are very fickle and want something right away. It's just, you know, it sucks, but I just don't agree with that whole. I don't like that business model of just adding on after you purchase it. Let's see. EA has announced a new Star Wars game, as we just said, from the makers of Titanfall. So Titanfall 2 must be wrapped up, because if they're announcing this, then all the production has to be moved over to that, right? Generally.
Mm-hmm. Most likely.
So it's a all-new third-person action-adventure game. God damn, I wish it was a 13-13.
Could be.
That'd be fun.
Could be. That was a third-person action-adventure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't...
I hope it's something like... because I've been playing Uncharted, but something along those lines, that kind of action-adventure. Very cinematic, but like a lot of... Yeah. You know, running around shooting people, but done in a very cinematic way. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that too. So not much to talk about there, just kind of excited to get a new action-adventure game out of it. Valve has mixed up the Steam review system, which is actually very, very needed. So generally you would see... So they're doing it kind of like the Apple Store, to where the latest reviews go into a pool of latest reviews, as to, well, overall stays the same. So if they do an update to the game, and you'll see the last 30 days, and so then it'll reset and go down to the overall and stuff like that. So very much needed, because if they do fix issues and they do come out with the new updates, you actually get a clearer vision overall of what that current review is, versus just like something that says mixed reviews, even though if it could be good.
Yeah, there was a game I was looking at the other day, and I noticed that it was some like Western shooter game. Oh shit! Like something in gold. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I noticed that it was like the overall reviews were very positive, but the most recent reviews were mixed. And I was like, what? And it was because an update had gone through, and
I think it's Blood and Gold or something like that.
What's that?
Blood and Gold.
Yeah, something like It came out like 2006 or something like that.
I played it on the PS4, I think.
Yeah, I was watching someone stream it the other day, and it looked like a lot of fun. And like they had like the Red Dead Redemption soundtrack playing underneath.
Uh-huh.
And like I guess it looked good for a game that's like 6 years old or something.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. One last thing here we'll talk about is Oculus fucking up again. So they started... I don't get it. So the Oculus Rift is now being sold at retail stores before all the pre-orders have been fulfilled.
Yep.
What the fuck, man? Like, take care of your customers that already paid for it before you go to retail.
Nope.
I thought that was Facebook's decision.
He said nope.
Nope. My name is Lucky Stupid Smiles, or whatever the fuck his name is. I don't know what his name is.
It's... Oh, my God, dude.
What's his name?
Shitface.
Yeah, I'm Shitface Lucky McSmiles. And no, fuck my customers. I've got their fucking money. They can suck my giant VR dick.
Because in real life, it's small. Oh, man. What a piece of shit he is. I could say that in confidence because I know him.
Does he owe you money or something?
Well, he owes him an Oculus Rift.
I see what you did there.
And I love how the PR always swings this. A small number of Rifts will be available through Amazon and Microsoft. A small. So dumb. Anyways,
if it's not like five each, eBay. Then it's not a small amount.
Yeah.
It's already on eBay.
How much are they selling for on eBay?
I saw one bidding so far at $850.
God.
Get out of here.
Why? Yeah. Jesus. I saw a really cool demo for VR the other day. It was a tagging. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that. Which one was that? That was that Vive? Who was that? It wasn't the Oculus Rift.
No, it was the Vive.
Yeah, it was that.
Because he has that little controller. Yeah, it was spray painting.
fucking awesome. Yeah. That 3D painting stuff, mm-hmm. that was so awesome. And one of my friends posted a picture. They just got a HoloLens from Microsoft.
Ooh.
I was like, shit. Because they're like I'm.
They live here in DFW?
No, in California. They're like, I'm reading something for class while watching Kimmy Schmidt. And so, like, literally, I took a picture through the head, like, the eye. Like, I know I could be watching it on TV, but it's so much more fun to do it this way. So their wall was just Kimmy Schmidt or whatever.
That thing is really expensive, isn't it?
I don't even know if it's for sale. I don't know how they got one.
Haven't announced anything. Yeah.
Hold on. I thought they did.
Got to be a dev kit or something.
No, they announced the pricing. Hold on. I'm gonna look this up.
For the glass or what?
Yeah, the HoloLens.
HoloLens.
I don't think they announced pricing at all. They don't even have a release date on that thing yet.
Bruh. Shipping now. The development edition is $3,000.
Pony
up, boys.
$3,000 for the development edition.
Okay, there's no way she paid that much for it. She's not a fucking developer.
Yeah. Fuck. How much is it going to be retail? Like $1,000? $2,000? But this thing looks really polished for a fucking developer edition. I wonder what the battery life is.
2 hours.
For real.
Did you just send a link?
Yeah, I sent it. Hey, they have a clicker for it, too.
You sounded so excited about that. They have a clicker!
It's included. It's a clicker, and it enables you to select, scroll, hold, and double-click during extended interactive scenarios. Ooh, a fiber cloth!
Ooh!
$3,000. That better come with a drill jump.
It's pretty cool. I have another friend who actually, she works at Microsoft, and she doesn't have a pair, but she's like posted pictures of her like using it at the Microsoft, like their headquarters in Seattle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like in like their cafeteria area. She's just like, I'm putting holograms on people's tables, and like, you know, while people are just eating lunch. And have you seen like the commercial sort of thing for that, where it's like literally like they're putting, you choose like your hologram and you just like go, I'll put it there, and then you just make it like larger or smaller, and then it just stays wherever you put it. So then you can like look around the room and like there'll be like a zombie on someone's table.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Or like a dragon or like a unicorn or something. It's really crazy. I was like, man, that looks fucking awesome. That has no practical like use whatsoever for anything, but it's nifty. I thought it was cool.
I want to play with one.
The Minecraft thing demo they showed off last year at E3 was legit as fuck. That they just looked at a blank table and then like that's where the game was.
Yeah,
it was,
I remember seeing
awesome.
That.
Awesome. And like in 3D, like it was.
And then you could scale it when like with your fingers. Yeah, and
that was insane.
Yeah,
that was so cool.
Awesome. Well, folks, that was our show for the week. I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week for more fun. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Don't forget your quarters for the laundromat.